Please turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 11, verses 25 through 30, as we're moving on in the Just Jesus evangelistic campaign, day 980. Which means I have 20 more days before we reach the 1,000 mark, which I set nearly 4 years ago. Since January the 20th, 2017, day 1,276, since January the 1st, 2016, Matthew chapter 11, verses 25 through 30, and I want to preach in your hearing right now with the tentative title, How to Find Peace and Rest. How to Find Peace and Rest in a troubled world. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, Jesus said, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. When you were a youngster in the black church, you would hear this quoted quite a bit. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Let's pray. Holy Father God in heaven, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, thank you for preparing us for the satanic attacks against us on the first Sunday of the new year, our communion Sunday. And we praise you and thank you for a blessed and great communion service, a meaningful communion service on the first Sunday of 2020. Living in a restless world, we need your rest. We need your peace. We need your strength and your might to make it through, to plow through. And Lord, we give you the glory, the praise, and the honor for what you have done already this morning in spite of the devil fighting against us and seeking to hinder us right off the bat, right here at the beginning of this new year. And we're not the only ones being attacked by the devil. There are others of your remnant. There are others of your 7,000 who are standing strong in the faith. And the devil is pelting them with everything he can to try to stop them, to try to discourage them, to try to hinder them. And we thank you for sweet victory through Christ. And we praise you and we thank you for Communion Sunday, when we remember your broken body and your shed blood, and we give you the glory, the praise, and the honor, for all of it is due your name. Have mercy, Lord, and grace upon us as your Christian people, those of us who are truly saved. And Lord, as we individually confess our sins, for Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive us of our sins. Create within all of us the right kind of heart, the right kind of spirit, the right kind of attitude and mentality. Crush and crucify, Lord, our flesh afresh and anew on this beautiful Sunday. And fill us, Lord, afresh and anew with the fullness and the power, the unction and the anointing, the fruit and the liberty of your Holy Spirit. Save those who are lost. Revive those who are saved. Lord, I am amazed at how you always show up and show out and do what needs to be done. Lord, unless we have sin in the camp or sin in our lives, for when that's the case, you don't show up and you don't show out. And Lord, we thank you for that too. Lord, I pray that you will help us to not grieve your Holy Spirit or quench your Holy Spirit because of sin and a bad attitude, a bad spirit. And for Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive us of any sin like that in our lives that would grieve or quench or cause your Holy Spirit not to move freely. And Lord, we pray that you'd open blinded eyes and unstop deaf ears and save those who are lost. Revive those who are saved. Glorify your holy name. Lift up your holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. For all of it is due your name. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Henry Drummond said Christ's invitation to the weary and heavy laden is a call to begin life over again upon a new principle, upon his own principle. And then he says, Jesus is basically saying, watch my way of doing things, follow me. He says, follow me. Take life as I take it. Be a meek and lowly individual, and you will find rest in a restless world. How to find peace and rest in a restless world. And that's the kind of world we're living in. But I hope you notice how that Jesus said, "Follow me." Isn't it interesting how that social media has instituted this "follow me" thing? One of the things I am telling people to do is to stop following people. I don't care who they are. If you ever see me on social media, I'm not following anybody. If I am, somebody has hacked my account. I don't follow anybody. And I would strongly recommend you stop following everybody on Instagram, on Twitter, on LinkedIn. Don't follow anybody. If you want to follow somebody, follow Jesus and follow your local church pastor. And that's it. You can still pretty much see what you want to see in social media without following everybody. And stop believing the lie that if you follow them, they will follow you. I mean, that's some real messed up stuff. Jesus never said, "If you follow me, I'm going to follow you." You need to just follow him if you want peace and rest. And I can tell by the look on some faces, some of you don't have peace and you don't have rest in this restless world. You're worried just like the world. Some people like going to events called tractor pulls. I'm not one of them. I have never been. I'm not going today, and I will not be going tomorrow. But there are some people who just love it. This is when they cover the floor of an arena with dirt, and guys in souped-up tractors compete to see who can pull the heaviest loads. That's nothing new, because long before the internal combustion engine, farmers were competing with animals to see which one was strongest. They still have competitions in which workhorses compete. The beautiful Clydesdales, aren't they beautiful? The Clydesdales breed has always been known as one of the strongest horses. Long before the Budweiser wagon came along, Clydesdales were pulling heavy loads. In these competitions, competitors made an interesting discovery. A single horse could pull a heavy load, but when yoked up with another horse, together they could pull more than the sum of the amount that each horse could pull alone. Isn't that interesting? For instance, let's say a single Clydesdale can pull a sled holding 2 tons of weight, and another Clydesdale can pull 3 tons of weight on a sled. You would think that when yoked together mathematically, the most they could pull would be 5 tons. But in reality, when these two horses are yoked together, they can actually pull 7 tons or more. You may think that's not possible, but this phenomenon has been proven many times. It's called synergy in the business world today. It's called synergy. true pulling together can accomplish more than the sum of the two parts. Now apply that principle to the yoke of Christ. You can try bearing the heavy load yourself, the burden yourself, but Jesus invites you to join him inside his yoke, because the truth of the matter is Jesus can pull the whole thing by himself. But he invites you and he invites me to yoke up with him, because he would like us to go along for the ride. Think about how much strength he has. He's stronger than a billion Clydesdales. He's the strong one, and I'm the weaker partner, for sure. Remember that first song you learned as a child? Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, we are weak, but he is strong. Have you ever seen the little video regarding SpaceX and their attempt to go to Mars and to carry things to Mars and to come back and to use the ships over and over again and to land the ships on a small spot somewhere out in the ocean or someplace else on a landing pad? The whole emphasis of that video, of that show, is all about synergy, and they repeat that over and over again. And when they succeed at something, like the landing on a landing pad with a rocket ship that just came from outer space, they jump and they shout and they kick and they buck and they clap. Why? Because they did something together that they cannot do alone. And they emphasize that. Young, and mostly young people. Mostly young people. They can't be no more than 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, something like that. But they put their heads together and they toss things at each other. Really highly educated and intelligent people. And they say, zip, bam, boom, 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 we can do this, blah, 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 and they put it together, and they send the ship out to space and make it land back on a pad, like a helicopter. And they shout, and they kick, and they buck, and they clap like they're at a football game. Why? Because of synergy. You can do more yoked up with others than you can do by yourself. And you can certainly do more yoked up to Jesus than you can do by yourself. Someone said, God is the majority all by himself. So by way of introduction and background knowledge, which has always been important to me, even as an evangelist, I'm big on background knowledge and history and historical understanding. And right now, I'm reading The Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire. It's so rich with history, as far as the background of when the Lord Jesus Christ came and how this small little sect, they called it, rose up to become the lead faith and religion in the Roman Empire and has been number one ever since. You know God is somewhere involved in that. So by way of introduction and background info today, Dr. Walvoord and Dr. Zuck, editors of the Bible Knowledge Commentary, said about this extraordinary passage, in contrast with his condemnation, on the three Galilean cities that we just read about, Jesus issued a great call to those who in faith would turn to him. Come to me. Yoke up with me. My burden is light, and I will give you rest. One of the reasons why Jesus Christ will give you rest once you join him is because he can pull the whole thing by himself. And in fact, he did that. He paid your sin debt and my sin debt all by himself. He is the sacrificial lamb, John the Baptist called him, that took away the sin of the world. And you join me, you're going somewhere. You're going to higher heights and deeper depths. You're going somewhere. Because I paid it all. All to him we owe. When Jesus died, he said, it is finished. You don't have to do a thing. Just yoke up with me and you'll be all right. You know how some of us like to get the hookup, want to get the hookup? That's mostly the kind of talk down in the hood. The greatest hookup in the history of the world is hooking up with Jesus. See, the hookup in the Negro vernacular means that you are kind of helpless. You can't do anything. You don't have the ability to get the job, but there's somebody on the inside. If you can hook up with them, they'll get you the hookup, and you can get that good paying job too. Many, many thousands of black folk have gotten by in life by getting the hookup. And we've, sad to say, we've needed the hookup. But not only us, everybody has taken advantage of the hookup. I'm here to tell you this is the greatest hookup in the history of the world. Hooking up with Jesus. And don't be ashamed when you need help. Don't be embarrassed that you need a hookup. You can't save yourself. You need to hook up with Jesus, my dear friend. Well, I want to do it myself. I want to, you know, live a sinless life, and I want to do good work. I want to give millions of dollars to the poor. No. Let me help you. You need the hookup. You need to yoke up with Jesus. And all your striving will cease, and he will give you rest in a restless world. Jesus had previously condemned that generation for their childish reactions in the verses we read before this. Here he declared that true discipleship can be enjoyed only by those who come to him in childlike faith, in humility, in meekness, in lowliness of mind. That's the only way you can really get the hookup, to acknowledge that you are helpless, that you're lost, that you need somebody to deliver you. You need somebody to get you through. You need somebody to get you in. You need the hook up. You need the yoke up to Jesus, because you can't do it. It doesn't work. You might put forth a great effort, but you fall short. And you need the hookup. Somebody who has the power to get you in. You know it's true. Most of us would not be where we are today if God had not touched somebody's heart to give you a hand up. And you got in on their good name. And here's what they told you. Now, listen, man, I got you in on my good name. Don't make me look bad, man. Do your job. Be on time, man. Stop doing those drugs, man. Stop drinking so much, man. Okay? And stop running all these women and all this stuff you're doing, because you're going to mess your job, your opportunity up. I got you to hook up. Okay? Because you yoked up to me. I'm the foreman out here. I know I was in the hood with you a while back, but man, I got it going on right now. I just bought a house. Don't mess me up, man. That's what the world's going to tell you when they give you the hookup. They're going to say, look here, let me tell you something. Okay, now I got you in, man. I can't keep you in. Only you can keep yourself in. If you mess up, don't tell anybody you know me, because you're gonna make me look bad. But see, Jesus is not like that. God, in his good pleasure, had hidden the great mysteries of his wise dealings from the wise and learned, the prudent, the so-called leaders of that day. And do you know that God still does that? You'll be amazed at how ignorant our so-called religious leaders, even in our evangelical circles, they don't have a clue. And everything is coming down all around them. And they don't know what is going on. They think they're doing the right thing and they're doing the wrong thing. That's why I'm telling you, don't hook up. Don't follow anybody but Jesus. Because most of these people, most of these religious leaders with these great platforms and all these followers are leading people astray. They are what Jesus called the blind leading the blind. And America is crumbling because not only of the wicked, but of the so-called Christian leaders who are making backroom deals with politicians instead of on their knees praying to God. God, in his good pleasure, had hidden the great mysteries of his wise dealings from the wise and learned, the so-called leaders of that day, but had revealed them to little children or to people who were considered ignorant. This was possible because God the Son and God the Father know each other perfectly well in the intimacy of the Trinity. Hence, the only ones who can know the Father and the things he has revealed are those whom the Son reveals them to. Therefore, Jesus issued a call to all who are weary and burdened to come to him. People's weariness comes from enduring their burdens by themselves, trying to do it themselves, trying to work their way to heaven. This is no doubt talking about the burdens of sin and its consequences. and everything that comes with that. Do you know that what breeds so many of our problems is our sinful nature? That's why people are so burdened today, because of our sinful nature. Not just our sins, our problems do come from that, but just our sinful nature. Meaning that because of our sinful nature and the constant sin that crops up from our lives, they cause our problems, and we try to handle our sin problems ourselves, thus causing us burdens that we cannot bear. And we're too proud, too pharisaically proud, to admit we're wrong. Let me tell you something. Because of our sinful nature, some of us we're blind to our own sins, our own failures, and our own faults. Other people can see them clearly. And if you are a pharaohistically proud individual, you can't see them at all. And we're so proud that we not only will not seek help, we will not even acknowledge our sin. We will not even confess our sin. And so the sin from our sinful nature just piles on and piles on and builds up. And we can't handle it. And what happens is people get depressed, defeated, disgusted. They can't see no way out. They can't see a way out, rather. And so they go down, down, down until they're ready to commit suicide, because they're too stinking proud to admit they're wrong, to acknowledge that they have failed, that they have done evil, that they have done wrong, and they won't ask anybody to help them. And one of the reasons is because they won't even admit that they're wrong. That's how bad it is for some people. And this breeds problem after problem after problem, trouble after trouble after trouble. And if you don't hook up with Jesus, if you don't yoke up with Jesus, you will never find rest. But you're not going to hook up with Jesus if you're proud and stubborn and you don't want to humble yourself and be meek and lowly of mind. There are many people today suffering because they just refuse to admit they're wrong. They refuse to admit that they need help. And so destruction is coming down on their pate, as the Bible uses that word, on their head. Everything is falling down around them because they won't even acknowledge their sin, their evil and wrong, and on top of that, they won't even ask for help. And the troubles begin to come double. It begins to rain trouble on top of your head. It's a storm that won't go away, and it sits right there. And it's all designed to push you to humble yourself, to become meek, to become lowly in mind, and cry out to God and say, I can't do it. I'm wrong. I'm a sinner. I'm a failure. Lord Jesus, please save me. And that's all Jesus is waiting for you to say. That's when you yoke up to Christ. And he'll pull you on up and pull you on out very easily. So people should come and yoke themselves with Jesus by believing on Christ, by trusting Christ as Savior, by placing themselves under His yoke and learning from Him. They will find rest. They will find peace for their souls from their sins, burdens. By yoking up to Jesus, they become true disciples of Jesus Christ and join Him in His proclamation of divine wisdom and the glorious gospel of Christ. To learn from Him is to be His disciple. To follow Him is to be His disciple. People can trade their heavy, tiring burdens for His yoke and burden, which by contrast are easy and light. And yes, this life can be far better for you if you yoke up to Jesus. He will make it easier for you and light. To serve Him is no burden, for he, in contrast with those who reject Him, is gentle and humble. He's meek and lowly. So, ladies and gentlemen, with that, my question to you is, do you know Him as your Savior? Have you yoked up to Jesus? Or is your life filled with fret and worry? Burdens and pressure. Are you a person you cannot see your way out? Things are dark and dim all around and you're contemplating suicide. Come to Jesus. Put your faith and trust in Jesus. Let Him save your soul and give you a new perspective. So, dear friend, if you're with us today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in Him today. First, dear friend, and when I say trust in Him today, I mean for you to believe on Christ so that your soul can be saved from hell. Your soul can be saved from the power of sin and the punishment of hell. And your life can be better because you're yoked up to Jesus. I would not trade anything in the world for my salvation through Jesus Christ. These past 40 years, He has given me a life that is storybook. I'm here to tell you, I could not have built the life that God gave me through Christ. He's allowed me to do things and receive honors that I would have never even heard about if I had never trusted Christ December the 19th, 1979. I'm here to tell you that not only will you go to heaven when you die as a Christian, but He'll take you on a journey in this life that will blow your mind. Oh, yes, He will. He will change the trajectory of your life and your descendants. I know for a fact that my children would not be doing as well as they are if it had not been for Jesus. First, accept the fact, dear friend, that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all have failed God. We all have sinned against God. Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. There is a punishment for sin. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Everybody knows that everybody's going to die. We all know that. That's our punishment. The body will go to a grave one day, including yours. I know you don't believe it, but it will. As King Solomon said, you can do what you will, but just understand God's going to bring you into judgment one day. You can do what you want to do, but you will meet your Maker one day, and you will give an account of your life. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 18:8, as Jesus Christ preached more on hell than anybody in the Bible, you need to understand, ladies and gentlemen, that after you die, your body will go to a grave, but your soul will go to hell if you have never trusted Christ as Savior. So you need to accept the fact that you are on the road to hell. For Jesus Christ said in Matthew 18:8, and by the way, he preached more on hell than anybody in the Bible. Why? Because he hates us? No, but because he loves us. He does not want us to go to hell. That's why he died on the cross for our sins, was buried, and rose on the third day. Jesus Christ said these words in Matthew 18:8, wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed, halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. My advice to you today is to repent of your sins and trust Christ as Savior. Trust Christ as Savior and let Him help you repent of your sins. Because hell is a real place. There are many people in hell today, and that's where you will go if you don't trust Christ as Savior. The point is, hell is bad news, but I have some good news for you. For you see, you cannot appreciate the gospel of Jesus Christ. You cannot appreciate the good news until you understand the bad news. The bad news is you're going to die because of your sins. And if you don't take care of your sins before you die by believing on Christ, you're going to hell forever. Now, I know you have not heard that before because most preachers don't preach that anymore. But it's still the truth. And here's the good news. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. All you have to do is believe on Christ. He made it very simple for you. Just believe in your heart the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day. Trust Him as your Savior today, and He will save you. Pray and call upon His name, and He will save you. For the promise is found in Romans 10:9-13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. Saved to what? Saved to heaven. Dear friends, if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ today, in your heart, that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day, if you are simply trusting Christ, he will save your soul. And I'll be glad to lead you in what is called the sinner's prayer, where you call on his name. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God's word guarantees that you'll be saved. This is how I got saved 40 years ago. And if God could save me, a man who hated preachers and hated the church, and was going to hell fast, he can save you. So if you're ready to trust Christ as Savior, follow me in prayer. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done evil in your sight. For I have broken your Ten Commandments, and here's a few that I know I have broken. I have lied before many times. I have stolen things before. I have coveted after and lusted after people and things before in my heart and in my mind. I have taken your holy name in vain. I have disobeyed and dishonored my parents. For Jesus Christ's sake, please have mercy and grace upon my soul. And please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe with all of my heart that he died for my sins, was buried, and rose on the third day, early one Sunday morning. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of all of my sins past and present. And help me to turn from my evil life and to follow you in the new life, Lord Jesus. For it is in your name I pray. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you believed in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ today, that he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day, allow me to say to you, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, you believed on him with your heart and you prayed that prayer and you meant it from your heart, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com. or whatever email is in front of you on whatever site you're on, and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, beloved, and if the Lord tarries his coming and we live, that'll be tomorrow night. God loves you. We love you. And may God bless you real good, is my prayer. I don't know why.